بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباد الذين اصطفى. اما بعد، فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي اسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام الى المسجد الاقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من اياتنا انه هو السميع البصير. وإذا قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: والتين والزيتون وتور السينين وهذا البلد الأمين. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: اللهم بارك لنا في شامنا، اللهم بارك لنا في شامنا، اللهم بارك لنا في شامنا، اللهم بارك لنا في يمننا، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله العظيم وصدق على رسوله الكريم. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Respected elders and brothers, regarding Masjid Aqsa, regarding Palestine, Allah Ta'ala give us the azmat of it. Allah give us the realization of it. Allah make us realize how great this Mubarak place is. You know, I had cancelled today's program. My program was first Sunday Madina Munawwara, second Sunday Makkah Mukarrama, and this Sunday, the 8th, was supposed to be for Aqsa. I had cancelled it because today was my day. I was supposed to be leaving for Masjid Aqsa. But you all understand and know the situation over there, that we can't go there anymore. Flights have been cancelled. And you know, Allah give us that pain and that worry and that cry. Allah, the people of Palestine can't even go into Masjid Aqsa to perform any salah. No Jummah in Masjid Aqsa. No Taraweeh in Masjid Aqsa. So many people from all parts of the world had made intention for i'tikaf the last 10 days, unable to go to make i'tikaf. That's the one part that is completely, you know, sealed from them. Then the old city itself, shops closed, everything closed. This is that month that they basically, because of the number and the influx of Muslims coming from all parts of the world over there to make Taraweeh there, to make Ramadan over there, the hotels are full to capacity, difficult to get accommodation, everything is, you know, basically buzzing. All that has been lost. This is their sort of income for the whole year. Can you imagine what they are going through? But I want every one of us, Allah make it, just realize this one factor. And then we put things together. If this has to be the situation in Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where we couldn't, let's say for example, with great difficulty we are able to land in Jeddah or in Madina Munawwara, then we are interrogated, and if they were at their will, they will send us away, and it is under the control of the non-Muslims. And make it worse, if you entered and you came right to the doors of Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they say, sorry, you must go away, we won't allow you to come inside. How would we feel? How would we take it? What would we do? And added to that, imagine if Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is closed. Totally. No one can go inside. No Taraweeh, no Isha, no Namaz, no nothing. How would be the reaction? And how would we take it?
We all will be shocked, up in arms, want to do something about it. Now, just as how we have that greatness and seriousness regarding Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this heart, you know, pain and this sadness that Masjid al-Aqsa is closed and we can't go inside, and there's so much of restrictions to go inside, and it's such a battle and such a thing to go inside. Does it create that pain as it will create the pain for Madina Munawwara and Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why don't we have that pain for Masjid al-Aqsa? Why is there not so much of, let's do something. What can we do? Where can we start off? Why is the pain not over them? One of the things, respected elders and brothers, one very important factor, is we haven't recognized Masjid al-Aqsa. We don't know what Masjid al-Aqsa is all about. I want to discuss this first and then take on a few other important aspects. It's a very important, serious discussion that we are having today regarding Masjid al-Aqsa. Allah make us understand and realize and recognize what this place is all about. When Abu Darda radiallahu anhu had asked Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the first house that was built for Allah's ibadat, he was told, Ka'batullah. And thereafter, 40 years thereafter, was Masjid al-Aqsa. Showing that this place was very special. Masjid al-Aqsa. So great this place is, that the most number of Anbiya alayhimu salatu was salam resided in this area of Palestine. In this area, the maximum ulama, Anbiya alayhimu salatu was salam were residing. The greatest ijtima' that had ever taken place on the face of the earth, no ijtima' can be greater than the ijtima' that took place in Masjid al-Aqsa. No ijtima' can be greater than that ijtima'. That is the ijtima' where all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu was salam gathered. 124,000 plus minus had gathered. Allah knows best how many hundreds of thousands of malaika were there. Jibreel alayhi salam, Mikael alayhi salam, all of them were there. And every Nabi from Adam alayhi salam right up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam were all over there in Masjid al-Aqsa. It is here, it is at this place, it is at Masjid al-Aqsa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored, gave that special title, gave that special status, gave that special elevation to our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where every Nabi witnessed and saw and followed. Every Nabi followed Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he became Imamul Anbiya. This is where he became Imamul Anbiya, the Imam of all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. Allah gave that title to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Masjid al-Aqsa. Now, I want all of us to understand that becoming the Imam of all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam in Masjid al-Aqsa, what does it show? One is all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam will follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam because his way is most loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. all the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam will follow him. At the same time, he's the Imam of Masjid-e-Aqsa. He's the Imam of Masjid-e-Aqsa, saying to us all, O Musalman, ye tumhara jaga hai, ye tumhara masjid hai, ye tumhara hai. O Muslims, understand that this is your house, this is your masjid, this is where your Nabi became the Imam of all the Anbiya alayhi salam. This is exclusive, this is only for the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This masjid, it's our masjid. And it must remain that way. And we must have that greatness, we must have that realization and value it and take it serious. I need to look after that masjid. Every Muslim needs to look after that masjid. That is our masjid. That land has been made waqf for the Muslims. That land has been made waqf for the Muslims. Just to talk one point of here. On this point of the waqf, not only is Masjid al-Aqsa, but the compound, now the compound, also the old city, all that property, and then they are Masjid Jabal Mukabbir, Jabal Silwan, and another mountain, three mountains, all these mountains where people are living, all that land is waqf for the Muslim Ummah. For the Muslim Ummah. If you just take Silwan, where today they talk about the city of David, the Jews are claiming this, by that land was made waqf by Osman radiallahu anhu in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, that this land was bought and given only to the Muslims, exclusive to the Muslims. In the old city, where supposed to be only Muslims living, today about approximately 40,000 living, 35,000 Muslims, 5,000 Armenians, Jews and Christians. They were not supposed to be living there at all. Sadly, some of the Muslims sold to them their land, their properties, their houses over there. And these people will pay any price. You can put it this way, a small holding or home or apartment could be by 10 by 10 square meters or something like that, or even less than that, or 5 by 5 square meters. They'll pay maybe $20 million. They'll offer and entice the Muslims, sell it to us. Because they want to come inside the old city and be close to Masjid Aqsa. Those that sold, they became poor. They are using hypocrites who pretend and come in as if they are Muslims and say, sell it to us. And these hypocrites then sell it to the Jews. Now the waqf or the awqaf of the old city has banned them from selling any property. So to an extent there is some protection. But I'm trying to show you that this place is no small place. This is a serious place and how important it is for us to look after it. Now coming back, that this place is so special. From the time that Allah Ta'ala created the earth, Allah Ta'ala made this rock over there, the Sakhra, like how Allah Ta'ala placed Hajar Aswad in Makkah Mukarrama around by the Kaaba. Allah Ta'ala placed the Sakhra, the rock, which is under the dome in Aqsa. And according to the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, As-Sakhra min al-Jannah. This rock is from Jannat. Beloved brothers, if you only understand this rock is on a palm tree of Jannat. Below it is the river of Jannat. When you are looking at this rock, glad tidings to you three times, those that will look at this rock with love. Meaning of the hadith. When you are inside this rock, you are inside Jannat. And when you are inside Jannat, whatever dua you make, you are accepted. And you can even say, "Ya Allah, I'm already in Jannat." You make the decision that even when I leave this world, I'll also be in Jannat. I'm already here in Jannat. Whatever you are touching inside that rock at the bottom, you are touching Jannat. And this very same rock, that above this rock, is from where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made his mi'raj, where he went towards the heavens. Why did Allah choose Aqsa, the Sakhra, to go on mi'raj, to go to Allah, and not Kaaba, not Madina Munawwara? Nice question. Directly above Sakhra, above Aqsa, is Jannat. This is where Jannat is. So Allah Ta'ala selected that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must go from here. Again, to show that my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went from here. This is the special place for the Muslims. Value this place. Appreciate this place. Make qadr of this place. Beloved brothers, the Sakhra, around it is the dome that has four doors. You get the Qibla door that's facing the Qibla. You get the one door that is the door of Jibril, Israfil. And the back door is called Babul Jannah. The door of Jannat. When you enter from that door, in front of you is a small wall there, about maybe approximately a meter high. You know, I was checking some kitabs. I love to go into the history of Aqsa. And there's so much new things that I'm learning and I'm finding out and I'm valuing. You know, it's just fascinating. It's so beautiful. So I'm reading one book, is called The Medieval History of Aqsa, where it said that the Baladatul Sauda, black paving, this is on the gate of Jannat. And they said, when you enter from Babul Jannah, I just can't seem to find it. I made 2-3 trips trying to work out where this place was, just can't seem to find it. Until, on one of the journeys, so a group of us, I told that person, find out from you, ask his wife to ask the guard, the lady guards, where this place is. Subhanallah, there was one of the elderly guards there. So where this wall is, there were some chairs of these tools, you know. So she moved that. She said, "This is the spot." Subhanallah, when we went over there, I think this was done by the Turks. Or whoever did it before that, Allah knows exactly. But this wall is like white. And in this, there's like, you know, like small columns in it. And the front column is like dark green, like almost black. And above there is small circles of black, saying, "This is the spot." I said, "Subhanallah, we found it." And you know, to read Salah there, that you are now standing on the gates of Jannat, was so, you know, and you could, once you just get over there, and you start your dua, even like when you go in the cave at the bottom, and you go over there, automatically in no time, you're already in your total contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's such a feeling. Now just to bring us to think about, at the moment, if you, between, as Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, between my minbar, my house and my minbar, is a garden from the gardens of Jannat. Between my house and the minbar is a garden of the Garden of Jannat in Madina Sharif. Today our situation is, if you want to get in there, you have to make a booking and you have to go into Nusuk, and you got so much of difficulty. Sometimes you don't get in, and they say only once in a year. One time in a year you can go. In 365 days, only one time you can get inside there. And then when you get inside there, after about 10 minutes, yalla, yalla, roh, 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 they're chasing you out of there. You can't even make properly ibadat over there or dua over there in Madina Sharif. Now you ask yourself, this is also Jannat. Where is that, you know, enthusiasm to go there? Allah make us understand how serious. That's why I'm saying, if a messenger to come to us that Madina Munawwara is closed, how much there will be so much of shouting? Where is the cry here? Why is there no cry here? I even tell the people, so often we will make trips to Makkah, Mukarrama, Madina Munawwara, give us tawfiq to continue inshallah. But what about Aqsa? Even if it is where we have to go through so much of, you know, hardship, trial, harassment, whatever it is. You know, I was speaking to some of the people, Allahu Akbar, when we tell them we have gone to Aqsa, a lot of the people, what we refer to as the refugees, that were originally from Palestine, have now been thrown out, and could be living in Jordan, could be living in Lebanon. These people, when you tell them, you know, I went to Aqsa. Hey, you went to my birth, my parents or my grandparents' birthplace, my watan, my original home. And we tell them, you know, they held us a bit and they had delayed us at the borders. They say, you know what? If I have to spend the whole day and I'm interrogated the whole day, even if I go through all that hardship, as long as I can go to Masjid Al-Aqsa, I'm waiting for the day. This is how they value what Masjid Al-Aqsa is. So I just gave you a little bit of explanation of this part here. Can you imagine? Anywhere, in the entire compound of 144,000 square meters, 144,000 square meters is the compound. In this area, anywhere you make sajda, you are making sajda where either a Nabi made sajda or an angel made sajda. And this is no small thing. Because as Rasulullah mentioned, this is the land of mahshar and manshar. People will be gathered here and qiyamah will take place here in Aqsa. A fire will come out and move the people from Yemen towards Aqsa. All parts of the world, the Muslims are told to encourage in the final hours to go towards Aqsa. Qiyamah is to take place here. Most of the final signs of the final hour will take place. The major signs is around Aqsa, is in Palestine. This is this place. So understand that if Qiyamah is to take place here, and if you recited, you perform two rakat salah over there. If you perform two rakat salah here, as Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, Yawma idhin tuhaddisu akhbaraha. Yawma idhin tuhaddisu akhbaraha. Allah says that on the day of Qiyamah, the earth will give its message. The land will speak. If you did good deeds on a certain piece of land, you read Subhanallah, that land will say, Ya Allah, this person read Subhanallah here. In your house, if you made Salah there, that floor will say, Ya Allah, this person performed Salah here. But in that house, if you indulge in haram, then that land on that earth and that floor will say, this person did this evil in this on this place. Can you imagine on the day of Qiyamah, which will be taking place in Aqsa, in that land, that is where Qiyamah will take place. At this place, this land is saying to Allah, Ya Allah, this man came all the way from South Africa and performed Salah in Masjid Aqsa. This land is talking, speaking in your favor. What a beautiful witness you will have. What a fantastic and powerful witness you have that this land is speaking in your favor. The land of Aqsa, the land of Barakat. Barakna hawlahu. The land which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even made dua for Barakat. The land that is Muqaddas. The land that Allah Ta'ala selected. That special land is your witness on the day of Qiyamah. Imagine how special this land is. So I just mentioned that Aqsa. Again, let us look how special this place is. It is mentioned after Salah had been ordained and made upon the Ummah, Faraz, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to perform Salah in Makkatul Mukarrama before he made Hijrah. He says, it is said that he used to perform, although Kaaba is in front of him, but he used to perform the Salah in a northerly direction. On that side, as if he's facing towards Aqsa. For that period, before he made Hijrah to Madinah Munawwara. When he came to Madinah Munawwara, for 16 months, before Allah changing the Qibla, he was facing a northerly direction. He was facing a northerly direction, where the present mihrab is about three pillars back. That was his musalla, facing towards the northerly direction, towards Aqsa. After 16 months, it was changed towards Makkah Mukarrama. That is why they say the first Qibla in Islam is Masjid Aqsa. This is how important it is. Now let us even go a little bit further, how special this place is. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made his mi'raj, he saw two lights. He asked, "Oh Jibril, what is this? That I can see these two lights shining." He says, "One is the mihrab of Dawud alayhi salam. The other one is the qabr of Maryam alayhi salam." Showing that this place is special. You know, to show you how great this place is, and how Sahaba looked at this place, and how they were affected. You know, it was said that most of the times there were different armies in the Muslim army, and the different Sahaba, they would go out and fight in different areas. When it came to the battle of Yarmouk, all the forces joined together. They joined forces together and they defeated the Romans. Thereafter, the next target was Masjid Aqsa. Again, all the Sahaba, all the generals, under Abu Ubaidullah bin Jarrah, Khalid bin Walid, Sharabil ibn Hassana, Hazrat Amr ibn As radiallahu anhum, all these people who were the big generals of the Muslim army, all of them collectively came and laid siege on Masjid Aqsa, or the whole basically area, the forts that the Christians had made. They had surrounded the whole area and these people were inside. For about 4 months, continuously, the Muslims were in skirmishes, were trying to infiltrate. These people were from the top, were firing arrows at the Muslims. They tried to put the shield over their heads to avoid it, to get close to the walls. But it was a mammoth task. It was difficult. And it was, you know, really a trying time. they just can't seem to make a way in. It was at that time, one, two very strong attacks the Muslims made, it did scare them. And these people then began to realize that we can't hold on indefinitely. And it was at this time that they went up, a few of them went up and spoke to the Muslims and said, "See, we are prepared to surrender on condition your Amir comes, your Khalifa comes." So they made Mashura, they said to themselves, "Where are we going to call Umar radiallahu anhu all the way from Medina Munawwara to come to Aqsa? Rather we just present somebody else." Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu looked like Umar radiallahu anhu. So they said, they told Khalid, "You go." Now they're looking in the scriptures. Now I'm trying to show you how much, even in their scriptures, about this great event was mentioned. In their scriptures, in the Christian scriptures, that this is to happen. In their scripture it was mentioned about the person that is going to conquer Aqsa and take it over from him, from them. Even his physique was told to them. So when they looked at it, this is, they could see that the description of what is in the books fits Khalid bin Walid. They say, "Yeah, this looks like the person. What's your name?" "Khalid." He says, "No, we're looking for Umar." So then Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu writes a letter to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, "Amir al-Mu'mineen, with your coming to Aqsa, inshallah there'll be no bloodshed. Why don't you come?" So Umar radiallahu anhu leaves Medina Munawwara to come towards Aqsa. And when he gets close to Aqsa, Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in come out to meet him. When they meet him, they greet him. He's happy to see his Sahaba after so long. And then they tell him, "Amir sahab, Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, we are going to see big people, nobles. Why don't you just change your simple camel and instead of wearing this tattered and torn clothes, wear something decent. You know, we'll give you some nice clothes, refined clothes, instead of this, you know, coarse clothes, and we'll give you a horse." So Umar radiallahu anhu took the suggestion and he did that. And he climbed onto this horse and he changed his clothes. And as that horse is moving and the way it was moving its head, some kind of feeling came in his heart. "No, this is not our way." He stopped, he jumped off, he told the Sahaba, "Give me my camel and give me my old clothes." And his words, "Nahnu qawmun a'azzanallahu bil Islam." We are a nation elevated, given honor, respect through Islam. This point is such an important point and such an important advice and such a serious thing. Today we are in disgrace. Why? Are we in Islam? Look, I am not telling you. Allah is saying, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Allah Ta'ala says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah Ta'ala promises those that believe. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and will do pious deeds. We'll make you the vicegerent. We'll make you the dominant power on the face of the earth. Ask ourselves, is there not something that is missing in our conditions today that we are like this? And at this point I would like, because this is not a, it's a very serious, it is mentioned by the pious that the, would use the word yardstick, or the measure, or as we say, like the thermometer, to look at the condition or the status or the Muslims, how is their condition, is to look at Aqsa. Allah has made Masjid Aqsa our measure. When we will be able to go into Aqsa with ease and afiat, with goodness, without any problems, when Masjid Aqsa will be abad, and Masjid Aqsa will be full in every way without any issue, and we are not restricted in any way, that's a sign that there is some good amount of deen and Allah consciousness in the ummah. But when the condition becomes difficult, then understand that there is weakness in the ummah itself. And this is what we are noticing today, that we have become such, you know, it is such a pain that I must enter Allah's house, such a sacred house, but I must go through this fella here. He will stop me. I mean, one of the trips, few trips ago, they were stopping us completely. No, you can't go. South Africa, go. If you just said South Africa, they don't want to see you, they don't need to enter. This is how serious it was. Then we knew certain Palestinians that lived in the old city, close to the, what you call, entrance over there. And they would tell the police, you know, allow them inside. That's how we were able to go inside. I'm asking you, Allah's house. So much of difficulty to go into Allah's house, where our Nabi Salsad made the imamat of the ummah, and we are in this condition, says to us that there is some weakness in the ummah. And I would like to now mention this because it's important. Look, the object is hidayat. The object of the talk is that some kind of lesson must be taken. This is the worry. This is it's not just a poor talk, it's to put and instill in the hearts of the ummah, there's something weakness in us, there's something wrong in us. And I would like to link it up to Makkah Mukarrama. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, and I'm going to mention this twice, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, as long as the ummah will revere and respect the haram, they will be safe. When they show disregard and disrespect for the haram, they will be destroyed. As long as the ummah will respect and revere the haram, they will be safe. When they show disrespect to the haram, they will be destroyed. This is an important lesson. And I wish every alim that is talking about, or every sheikh, that every person that's a muallim, that is speaking about umrah or speak about hajj, emphasize this point. And everyone that is going for umrah and is going for hajj and is going to Makkah Mukarramah, please, your actions is going to make khair for the ummah or cause destruction to the ummah. This is no small thing. This is serious. If you feel for the ummah, if you want to cry for the ummah, if you're worried about the Muslims in Palestine, and worried about the around those in Aqsa, what's happening in Aqsa, then understand your actions are having an impact when you go to Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara. And this is what we are seeing. Look at how they have deceived and how they have taken the Muslims away from the deen. In the so-called 2030 vision, that now you must put the ladies in everywhere, be it in the supermarket, be it in the hotels, be it on the streets, be it in immigration, everywhere. Make them make you indulge in zina. Make them indulge in zina. Make them all indulge in haram. Way right by the Kaabatullah. Make photography and filming and videos a play and a joke, and take out the respect of the Kaabatullah. Because these kuffar, the forces of falsehood, understand when the ummah will do this, they will be defeated. They have realized it. You know, again, just to show you, they study our books. They study our books. Just to give you digress for a second, you know. I personally witness it. In America, they are selling vouchers. Save Israel. Donate $3. For what? To plant that Gharka tree. You know, again, just for a minute, when I was in Makkah Mukarrama, when there was a big majlis that we had, you know, with the ulama there and a lot of people, so they asked me to speak on Palestine. So in that discussion, I said, do you know how much of belief that these Jews have in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And I said, do you know they are planting that Gharqa tree in Aqsa, in Palestine? Because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when this final battle will take, which is called the Malhama, the great battle between the Muslims fighting the Jews, at that time, all the trees and the stones will say, Ya Muslim wara'i Yahud uqtulhu. Oh Muslim, behind me is a Jew, and kill him beside the Gharqa tree. So these people are planting the Gharqa tree. And I even saw the tree. And I'm laughing at it. You know where they live, the settlements are. You see they plant these trees here. I see how stupid they are. Because we know that tree is the tree that they're going to be hiding. We will know how to catch them, inshallah. But I'm trying to show to you that how much they have studied our Islam and know where our downfalls are. Which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had mentioned that if you do this, will happen. So how important it is for us to respect the haram, to go with the right frame of mind, prepare ourselves properly and respect the Mubarak place. It's not a place of videos and all this fitna that is taking place today and all this shamelessness that has become the order of the day over there. Getting back to this point again, as I quoted the ayat of the Quran, as Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned, we will be honored when we will be practicing Muslims. When we'll be practicing Muslims, we will be honored. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu wore his same clothes and he was riding his camel. And as he got closer, he was with his slave. He told his slave, now is your turn to take over. And that is when they are about to approach the last leg of the journey where they are about to meet the Christians. The slave says, no, Hazrat, we are now here. How can I be riding? He says, no, it's your job. Your turn, I'll never take it. So the slave is riding, Umar radiallahu anhu is walking. They looking in their books, the conqueror will be the one who will be walking, his slave will be on the camel. And the conqueror will be dressed up like this with so many patches on his clothes. You cannot fight him. You cannot fight him. You will never be able to defeat him. But just before I go on to that part there, I just want to mention one very important thing also linked up to all our conditions. When that so-called ceasefire, when they said they want to see Umar radiallahu anhu, during that period, while Umar radiallahu anhu was coming, the Christians knew one thing. If we make this army indulge in haram, we will defeat them. So they placed on the roads, when the Muslims were going for Salah, beautiful young woman, semi-naked, or basically saying, come, we welcome you. And they placed wealth, gold, everything in front of them. Enticing them to indulge in haram. Knowing if they go into haram, Allah's help will be lifted up. Like it had happened in the time of Musa alayhi salam. When the general indulged in haram on the army of the Bani Israel, 70,000 of them were killed. So they knew that. They knew that. They understand that. Allahu Akbar. Sahaba knew Allah is watching. Allah is basir. And we must cast our gazes down. And alhamdulillah, they went on that whole trip without looking at these people. And this is when the help of Allah came. I ask, I'm being frank and open. Because it's out of concern and worry. We are in this condition. One is to shout and make a, what you call, march and things like that. And think that that solved the problem. That's not going to solve it. Bring deen in your life. Because that is what Allah is saying. I mean, that at that time, these non-Muslim women were making the Muslim dua in haram. Today, what is our condition of our Muslim sisters? By the help will come when you get modesty in your life. When you bring haya in your life. Look at the shamelessness in y'all. I'm telling you, this is the month of Ramadan. If you have decided to come into parda or come into your cloak, please, how can you be dressed so shameless, showing the shape of your body in front of your children? Don't you have any modesty in you? Where are you? And you want to scream, free Palestine. But where is the deen in you? It will not happen until you don't bring deen in your life. Bring haya in your life. Bring modesty in your life. Then you'll see the change. Pornography has become the order of the day. Where the help of Allah going to come? Zina has become the order of the day. Disrespect to the parents has become the order of the day. Breaking family ties has become the order of the day. Indulging in interest has become the order of the day. Do you think the help of Allah is going to come? It's serious for us to think about these important issues. If you want the help of Allah, as Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Azana Allah bil Islam." Allah, nahnu qawman, Allah, we are a nation, Allah is honored through Islam. Look at what the honor they gave him, and they saw him in that condition, in that simple dress, we cannot fight this man. And they were ready to surrender to Umar radiallahu anhu. Allahu Akbar. You know, there's few other parts I'll just leave out because time is short. I just want to get to one important part in Aqsa, regarding Aqsa. But I think I'll mention the one part. Umar radiallahu anhu signed this treaty where the Holy Sepulchre is today. He signed the treaty with the Christians there. They told him, make the namaz there. He says, no. If I make my salah here, my people will say that this is our place because our Amir al-Mu'mineen made the salah there and they will take it over. No. He walks approximately 15-20 meters away and he made his salah there. That is what you find today, Masjid al-Umar, where he made the salah. And I really want all of us, and I wish, inshallah, if somebody could take this upon themselves, I got that, what you call the Ahd-e-Umariyya, the treaty that he made with the Christians. I wish, you know, in somebody said can make it in Tala in a good size, maybe an A3 size, and prepare it in a frame, and put it in all the masajid, to educate the Muslims about that treaty, and about the justice of Umar radiallahu anhu, and what was Umar's ruling regarding the Jews coming to Aqsa or living in Aqsa. Really, I really wish that somebody could take it. I do have that Ahd Umariyya. We can inshallah modify it and make it proper and make it in such a way that it can be put in all the masajid throughout the world. So we can read and recognize Umar's justice. Umar's justice for these people is there glaring till the day of Qiyamah. There is Holy Sepulchre there. There is Masjid Umar. He never performed Salah in the Holy Sepulchre. Again, that quality of the Muslims, of justice, even with the non-Muslims, is being taught to us. Such an important point. Now, when Umar radiallahu anhu finally found Masjid Aqsa, and cleaned Masjid Aqsa, Allahu Akbar, he tells, as we all understand, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's muazzin in Madinah Munawwara. In the 8th year of Hijri, when they conquered Kaabatullah, when they conquered Kaaba, when they conquered Makkah, Rasulullah told Bilal, you stand on the Kaaba, on the top of the Kaaba, and you call the Adhan. Allah gave him that honor. In Medina Munawwara, he was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Muazzin. In Makkah, when they conquered Makkah, on that great day, 8th of Ramadan, Bilal radiallahu anhu was told to call the Adhan by the Kaaba, on the Kaaba, on top of the Kaaba. Can you imagine? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away in the month of Rabiul Awal, 11th Hijri. And Sahaba definitely missed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. At that time, when they were in Medina Munawwara, they would always hear the azan of Bilal radiallahu anhu. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left this world, Bilal could not stay in Medina Munawwara. Bilal radiallahu anhu left Medina Munawwara and went away to Damascus. They never heard his azan after that. On the day when they conquered Medina Munawwara, when they conquered Aqsa, on that Mubarak day when they conquered Aqsa, and they had to perform that salah there, Bilal radiallahu anhu is telling, Umar radiallahu anhu is telling to Bilal radiallahu anhu, Ya Sayyidina, O our leader, we request you to call the azan. I ask you, what kind of memories must have hit their heart that our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that azan that we heard in the time of Rasulullah, we are hearing it today. On this special day, when we have conquered Aqsa, the place where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had made his mi'raj, the place where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made Imam became the Imam of the Anbiya. Today he's not here. And the love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so intense in the heart, and missing him for such a long period of approximately 4 years, and the memory of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the azan of Bilal radiallahu anhu, can you imagine how they cried that at this Mubarak place of Masjid al-Aqsa, our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not here to share the happiness or the joy or the fact that we are here and we have conquered this place. The way they cried, the way they cried. Sahaba cried so much. Now our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not here today. This shows how special this place was to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. How much they valued this place, such a Mubarak place. Respected elders and brothers, Allah Ta'ala give us the azmat of the Mubarak place. I've just touched few important places, and I just touched a little bit about how great Masjid al-Aqsa is, and that our heart should be burning and crying and, you know, in pain that we can't go to this Mubarak house. Those that made intention of etikaf can't go. Tarawih is not there. This Mubarak place, no Jum'ah, no nothing. One is we can say, you know, the Jews are like this and these people are like this and whatever we can say. But Allah Ta'ala give every one of us the tawfiq to make tawbah. Each one of us look into ourselves and see the wrongs that we are in and make tawbah today. This is a discussion of Allah. Ya Allah, come, let us come back towards tawbah, asking Allah for forgiveness. I am not saying, as I mentioned, Allah says, Wa'adallahu alladhina amanu minkum wa aminus salihat. Allah promises those that believe and they do good deeds, we will make you the dominant power. Bring deen in your life in totality. Your children come into deen. Bring them in the company of the pious. Take them to the masjid. Make them associate with the pious ulama. Make them associate with the pious ulama. Those ulama that are on haqq. Not those that are in TV and videos and all these things and are running after name and fame. Allah protect us from that. Allahumma inni asulka hajjan la riya wa la suma. As Nabi Sallam dua was, O Allah, give me a hajj in a way there's no name and fame. We should make this dua. Also becoming a sum'ati wa riya. Save me from name and fame. Save me from doing things for show. Allah protect us from that. Because that is where your deen will be lost. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned. Allah protect us from these things. And Allah give us sincerity. Allah give us, you know, do everything. In this Mubarak month of Ramzan, I'm saying this. If you are coming to the masjid, if you are coming to Quran, continue after that. If you know your weaknesses, you're in pornography, make tawbah from that. Allah is watching you wherever you are. Allah is watching you wherever you are. When you are committing zina, or in whichever form, then you must know the eyes commit zina, the ears commit zina, the tongue commit zina, the hands commit zina. And the private part is the final decision. At that time your iman comes out of your body. These are serious things. Allah Ta'ala realize, make us make tawbah. And O Ummah, don't follow the ways of the Kuffar and the Yahud and the Nasara. Follow the way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is true success. Allah Ta'ala make us realize that. Allah give us understanding. Wa akhra da'wan. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi. Ya Arhamar Rahimin, ya Zal Jalalil Ikram, ya Awwalal Awwalin, ya Akhiril Akhirin, ya Rahimil Masakin, ya Zal Quwwatil Matin. Allahumma innaka 'afuwun karimun tuhibbul 'afwa 'anna ya Karim. Ya Arhamar Rahimin, ya Zal Jalalil Ikram, ya Hannan ya Mannan. Ya Allah, our hearts are in your hands. Ya Allah, without your help and tawfiq, we can't even say one subhanallah. Ya Allah, we beg you and we plead to you. It is Mubarak month of Ramadan. Ya Allah, while we are fasting, we are asking you. Allah, Allah, we ask you first forgive us. We are so weak, we can't even do anything for what is happening to the ummah throughout the world. But Ya Zal Jalal Ikram, as you have mentioned, when we do iman, we have iman and amal as salah, you'll change the condition. We are asking you, Ya Allah, we can't do the effort, we don't know how to do the effort, we cannot even make proper effort. But we are asking you through your infinite mercy, Allah, turn the hearts of every Muslim towards your obedience. Allah, give every ummati throughout the world the tawfiq of making tawbah. Give everyone the tawfiq of making tawbah. Ya Allah, so that you can shower your mercy upon the ummat. Shower your mercy upon the ummat by giving us hidayat. Allah, if you give us hidayat, your Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will get happy. Ya Allah, we ask you, we plead to you through those tears that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam endured. That suffering that he went through and the cry that he made on the 17th of Ramadan in Badr, crying to you and begging you that, Ya Allah, if this army is destroyed, your name will never be taken. Ya Allah, in this we are asking through the wasila and through the blessings of those tears of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the 17th of Ramadan, those tears of Badr and that sacrifice of Badr and the sacrifices that the Sahaba went in the Mubarak month of Ramadan to Badr. Allah, on that sacrifice, we beg you, O Allah, please use it today as an excuse. For you is nothing. We are asking you. You want us to ask you. We are pleading to you. Allah, we can't make the effort. We can't change the hidayah. We give anybody hidayah. You have mentioned that hidayah is only in your hands. We ask you, Ya Hadi, you are Arhamar Rahimin. You are Ra'ufum Bil Ibad. You are the most compassionate to his servants. You are most compassionate to your servant. Allah, oh, the most compassionate. Ya Ra'ufum Bil Ibad. Ya Ra'ufum Bil Ibad. Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Oh, the most merciful. Allah, we can't do anything. We beg you today at this Mubarak time. Ya Allah, please give every ummati throughout the world hidayat. Ya Allah, give every ummati throughout the world hidayat. Ya Allah, protect every Muslim from all types of haram. Protect them from drugs. Protect them from alcohol. Protect them from lies. Protect them from cheating. Protect them from doing disrespect to their parents. Ya Allah, protect them from breaking family ties. Protect them from breaking family ties. Ya Zal Jalal Ikram, protect them from interest. Protect them from all that is haram. Protect us from following the ways of the Yahud and the Nasara and the Mushrikeen. Ya Allah, save us from the evils of the Munafiqeen. Save us from the evils of the Munafiqeen. Ya Allah, protect us. Give us hidayat. Ya Allah, give every ummati hidayat through your fazl and karam. Give us all hidayat. Ya Allah, give everyone the tawfiq of making sincere tawbah. Guide us on the straight path. Ya Allah, make us your beloved and your beloved of your Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah, please do it, Ya Allah. Please do it, Ya Allah. We are asking you for that. Ya Allah,
Nabi Allah through that. Ya Zul Jalal Ikram. How Nabi Sassam cried. How he suffered in Uhud. And the tears and suffering and the blood of Uhud. And the blood of Taif. Ya Allah, put it, don't put it to waste, Ya Allah. Today we ask you, make it as a use, as an excuse to give us hidayat. We can't make the effort. Allah, Ya Zul Jalal Ikram, make your Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam happy today. Allah, make your Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam happy today. Allah, make your Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam happy today by giving us all hidayat. Make the fasla of our hidayat. Ya Allah, make the fasla of hidayat. And we ask you, Allah, open the door that we can go to Aqsa without being harassed, Ya Allah, be it at the airport, be it at the borders, Allah, that we can go without going through these people. We don't have to go through these people, Ya Allah. Open the door, we can go without going through these people. Allah, Ya Zal Jalal al-Ikram, open Masjid Aqsa for us. Ya Allah, open the masjid. Make Tarawih start, make Namaz start, make Eid start, make Jummah start, make everything start of the day immediately through your fazal and karam, through your qudrat. Ya Allah, use us and our children and our family members and every one of us. Ya Allah, use us, Ya Allah, to spread the deen. Ya Allah, use us, Ya Allah, to bring deen alive in our lives, in our family lives, entire ummah. Use us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, that we can be the source of the victory of the Muslims, and that Islam and Masjid Aqsa come back into our hands, and that Islam become elevated. Ya Allah, protect the ummah from the munafiqeen. Ya Allah, protect the ummah from the munafiqeen. Ya Allah, protect the ummah from the munafiqeen. Allah, give the ulama hidayat. Ya Allah, those that are indulging in TV and photography, make them make tawbah. Make them realize, Ya Allah, they're shameless and the wrong that they're doing. Ya Allah, they're making our mothers and sisters make zina looking at them, the zina of the eyes looking at them. Make them make tawbah. Make these ulama make tawbah. Make them realize they're wrong. Ya Allah, make them come back onto the right path. Make them come back on the right path. Ya Allah, give our huffaz hidayat. So many of them, Ya Allah, only in Ramadan they come to the masjid. We don't see them the rest of the year. Ya Allah, give these huffaz hidayat. Make them pious, practical Muslims. Make them practice on the Quran and Kareem. Allah, make our homes Islamic. Ya Allah, get rid of the TV from the homes. Ya Allah, get rid of the shamelessness from the homes. Ya Allah, get rid of the immodesty that is coming to our woman. Give them hidayat, Ya Allah. Give them hidayat. We beg you, Ya Allah, give them hidayat. Give our mothers and sisters hidayat. Give them hidayat. Give them hidayat. Ya Zal Jalal Ikram, whoever is indulging in music and all this thing, make them make tawbah. Allah, make us all make tawbah. Allah, please, Ya Zal Jalal Ikram, we beg you through your fazal and karam, please give them hidayat. Turn their hearts toward their obedience. We can't do anything. We ask you, we beg you today. Allah, accept this, Ya Allah, duas of ours through your fazal and karam, wasila of Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Allah, become pleased with us. Give us ikhlas in what we do. Allah, protect the Muslim from showing off. Protect the Muslim from showing off. Ya Allah, they're becoming so extravagant and wasteful, Ya Allah, in their weddings. Ya Allah, they're wasting so much of food and they're wasting in their lives. Ya Allah, protect us from extravagance and pride and showing off. Ya Allah, protect us from pride and showing off. Protect us from pride and showing off. Protect us from doing things for name and fame. Allah, give us ikhlas in whatever we do. Ya Allah, give us taqwa. Give us tawazu. Give us humility. Ya Allah, give us humility. Ya Allah, give us sincerity. Ya Allah, give us good akhlaq and character. And give us husna khatima. Make the best day of our life the day we have to meet you. Make the best of our best part of our life the last part of our life. And the best amal, the best, the amal of when we are leaving this world. Allah, make the decision of us, our children, our family members, and the entire ummah jannatul firdaus. Save it from the fire of jahannam and enter into jannatul firdaus. Allah, those that made intention for hajj, Allah, make them prepare themselves properly for hajj. Allah, give them hidayat. Ya Allah, protect them from indulging in photography and protect them from showing up and protect them from doing things for name and fame. Give them ikhlas, make them be humble. Ya Allah, make them spend the time properly in the Mubarak places. Those that are gone for Umrah, make them spend their time properly. Make them come back with hidayat. Ya Zal Jalal Ikram, make them come with the true love of Allah, yours and your Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Allah, give us all hidayat. Make us all love you. Make us all love Rasul Sallallahu. Ya Allah, keep us on the straight path as long as we're living, and make us from the awliya ikram. Ya Allah, through your fazal and karam, wasila of Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, please accept all our du'as with afiyat. Ya Allah, whoever has got whatever need, fulfill their needs. Whoever is sick, give them complete shifa. Ya Allah, save us from a bad old age. Ya Allah, save us from a sudden death, us and our children and our progeny. Ya Zal Jalal al Ikram, as long as we're living, make us hear well, make us see well, give us strength in our bodies. Ya Zal Jalal al Ikram, please, Ya Allah, accept our du'as with afiyat. Allah, beggars come to us. Sometimes they are lying, we still give them. Allah, you are more generous than that. You are more generous than that. We have good hope in you. We know, Ya Allah, you'll accept our du'as. We ask you, please accept our du'as. You are more generous than us. Ya Allah, please accept this du'a through your fazal and karam. Wasila of Rasulullah Sallam, we are fasting, we beg you, accept the du'as. Allahumma inna nasulaka min khayrin. Ma sa'alaka minu nabiyuka Muhammadin Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wa na'udha bika min shari ma sa'azaka minu nabiyuka Muhammadin Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wa anta musta'an wa alayka al-balagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-azim. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samil alim. Wa tub alayna innaka antat tawab rahim. Amin, 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 amin. Bifadli subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Salamun al-musin. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.